night, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night. That can only mean one thing.
What's that?
You're here. I'm here. That means Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio is ready to dive right in. It's a new week. Last week is done. We are over it, I hope. Pete Sweeney, chief editor, Arrowhead Pride, the number one source of Chiefs information all across the internet. The only one I look at.
That's good.
How you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling okay.
Okay.
And I think everyone should feel okay by now. I think if this loss had come and the records had been the same and this was at the end of the year and you didn't have so much time and so many things to have happen where you can maybe make it up and crawl back into what would be the AFC bye race, I think it would be a little bit more grim with Buffalo staring you in the face. But there's, what, 11 weeks left here. So I think it's possible for them to turn this back around and go on a nice win streak. And, you know, at some point you look at the AFC East, and as it turned out, the best division in football history, the AFC West, is far from that. So the Chiefs have an easier division schedule, whereas the AFC East, which is what the Bills have to play, has New England, who's playing some pretty good ball at this point. The Jets' defense looks pretty good, and they've already lost one game to the Miami Dolphins. And if Tua's back for that second match, who knows how that goes. So I think there's a number of tough games on the Bills' schedule. The Chiefs have a tough schedule as well, but there's just so much time. So if the Chiefs can right the ship here, maybe they'll be able to get that home field advantage anyway.
I kind of had a show topic, I guess. It was more so of like a appreciation. Did you feel the fan base was mature about this loss? Because a lot of friends and family always reach out, or people that you probably know that are Chiefs fans, be like, how you feeling? What do you feel? I felt like everybody was kind of like, eh. Tough loss, it sucks, but they were still more mad about the Colts loss than the Bills loss because of record implications.
Yeah, I think whenever the Chiefs lose, in general, there is a little bit of extreme panic mode that sets in. And, you know, at that point, you got to remind people they have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and usually the defense comes around. And three wins in a row later, and everyone's on, you know, they're feeling the glory and they're riding high again. And this particular win, it didn't really feel like the fan base, between mentions and comments and the things we do get at arrowheadpride.com, it didn't feel like everyone was jumping off ship or panicking. I think the fans realize that the Chiefs are a good team, and sometimes good teams lose to other good teams. And I think there was maybe more respect for the Bills now that they've proven it for a couple years in a row that, you know, they're on right on the same plane. And I think fans appreciate the Chiefs' messaging in the locker room after the game, which was largely, look, we're going to see these guys again. We're not happy, but we're going to see them again. And the scenario played out last year where the Bills were able to get the regular season game, and then you saw them in the playoffs, and we know what happened then. So a lot of time to make sure this thing happens in Kansas City. You're going to need a little help now because you got to have a better outright record. But I think the Chiefs are looking forward to the San Fran game, and 5-2 heading into the bye week isn't so bad.
So today there was a popular name, as well as yesterday, not Travis Kelce, but it kind of started with Travis Kelce. The restructure of the contract, we'll get your take on that as well, which I know you were on the drive to with Carrington Harrison. So
yeah.
But yesterday Travis Kelce's contract gets restructured. He doesn't even say a word, and all of a sudden the entire world's like, okay, this must mean Odell Beckham's coming to Kansas City. Right. New Heights podcast with his brother. It's really, really fun. It's funny. It's enjoyable. I enjoy it. I've been on it for a while now just because of the connection they have. This was said on the podcast today. We'll get your reaction on the other side of it.
All right. We got some news out today. You had a little contract negotiated.
Yes, I did.
Can you put us in behind the scenes with that a little bit? What happened?
I'm not sure yet. It's a start to a move, right?
Do you think so?
You're freeing up cap space to be able to do something. Yeah, my agent just hit me up and said that they want to free up some cap space. So I was like, I get the money now. All right.
Why not? Seems like a no-brainer.
And it frees up cap space for us to get better as a team.
So you cannot verify or debunk the rumors out there surrounding OBJ?
Odell Beckham Jr.?
That's the OBJ I'm referring to.
I want them to come true. I have not heard anything in the locker room or anything around the facility.
All right, playing a little coy with it. I get it.
Something's in the air for sure. And if it means OBJ...
Well, we can neither confirm nor deny, but we will speculate and look forward to seeing OBJ in the Chiefs uniform.
Floor's yours.
Yeah, I think this is a move that helps give the Chiefs space to make any move. It doesn't necessarily have to be OBJ. I know that everyone is thinking that it could be. We don't know a lot of things about OBJ. We don't know what he's looking for. We don't know how much money he's looking for. We don't know how many years he's looking for. I know the Chiefs are really smart about getting into situations like this contract-wise to not handcuff themselves for the future. I think this is a team that wants to be active in next year's free agency, and so this isn't something where you would want to put something on the books to prevent that. You know, I think that's the long-term plan. I think the big thing for me, and I said this on the drive, is I think it's more important that he doesn't end up in Buffalo than he ends up in Kansas City. I don't know if the Chiefs need Odell Beckham Jr. and a version of Odell Beckham Jr. where we don't even know what we're getting, where he's torn his ACL now 2 years in a row. You don't even know what you're getting. Now, in Kansas City, I think he would be signed and brought here to be a number two or a number three behind Travis Kelce, and probably a number two pass catcher. And I just don't know if he's capable of that. We just don't know how people are going to respond to injuries. We don't know when he's going to be 100% ready. Whereas I think if he goes to Buffalo, very clearly he would be the third guy behind what is Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and an upgrade over Isaiah McKenzie. And to me, that would make them even scarier than they are now and would help them continue to have a better record than the Chiefs and at least a tied record of the Chiefs, because it's all they need now that they got the head-to-head tiebreaker. And so the Von Miller stuff scares me more than the Travis Kelce stuff gets me excited. The Miller saying it's a done deal, he's coming to Buffalo, then Travis Kelce being like, OBJ is here. Now, I really thought the Chiefs should have added him last year. I've said this before. I think OBJ going to the Rams instead of the Chiefs, that tipped the Super Bowl to them instead of it, another one in Kansas City. He played well. He scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl before he suffered that injury. I don't know if he's making that difference this year, but I think it's imperative that he does not end up a Buffalo Bill, because I just think that scenario is nightmare fuel for what would be the Chiefs' chances and their dreams of going back to the Super Bowl this year.
Number one offense in the NFL, why make this move? Just to make it that much better so that good defenses are debunked? Not to be like a punter, be punny, but like, yeah. You don't want to mess with the juju, right? Like, no. You've got the number one offense.
Juju just had his breakout game, and I don't think we've seen even close to the ceiling of what perhaps McColl could be or even Sky Moore. And a lot of people have been like, maybe Sky Moore is one of the better receivers on this team, and he's still developing. And who knows what he could be by the end of the year when he gets 17 games under his belt for what he could mean in the postseason working with Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. So I don't know if it's a move the Chiefs have to make. And when it comes to this money, I don't think it is a direct reflection of, we need to free money because we want Odell Beckham Jr. No, I think it's, we wanted to free up money because they were right up against the cap. So if anything comes along, maybe there's a trade with Carolina that could be a possibility. Maybe it's a trade elsewhere. Maybe there's a signing later in the year that we're not thinking of, like a Melvin Ingram or a Terrell Suggs. I know they traded for Melvin Ingram, but a signing like a Terrell Suggs or MV Pinnell, which we made famous here on 610 Sports Radio when the Chiefs turned it around and turned into a championship defense. So I think it's just providing flexibility when there was close to none. And we'll see what the Chiefs end up doing with it. I do think they'll be involved in OBJ, but I just don't think this Travis Kelce thing means it's a given that he ends up here.
It's week 7, so injuries start to pile up. They tend to be a little bit more severe than most. Anything new out of Chiefs camp today? I know that McDuffie's supposed to be back. Willie Gay's off the suspension. You were out there today. What'd you see? What can you tell as of a Wednesday? I know we still have 2 more days of practice, but where do the Chiefs stand so far on this injury report?
Yeah, the weird thing I thought about today's media stuff is that Andy Reid was a little tentative on saying that Willie Gay would definitely be back this week and Trent McDuffie would definitely be back this week. Both players were out there practicing today. This was the 4th practice since McDuffie's been back, the 1st practice on field that Willie Gay has been back since suspension. I mean, I feel like I'm at 90% on both of these guys playing, especially Gay. I'm probably at 99 on Gay. I just think Andy Reid wants to make sure he's in game shape and good to go, but I can't see him not staying in shape even while he was away for the team for the 2 weeks and he was able to be back for the 2 weeks. And then Trent McDuffie, I think there is a thought process. Could you wait an extra week and then you get 2 weeks because of the bye week? But if he's ready, he's ready, right? Why wait? We have seen the Chiefs do this with Mahomes before, where there was a bye week coming up. If you remember when he had his injury, there was a bye week coming up, and the thought process was, well, you know, maybe the Chiefs waited another week to make sure Mahomes is okay, and they played him. They played him when he was ready, and it was before the bye. And so I think they do the same thing with McDuffie. It was good to see Brian Cook back in the mix. He had the concussion protocol. They gave rest days to what was Joe Tooney, which I think was important, and then Mike Dana. Both rest days. It seemed like the Chiefs were optimistic. I think they're looking at another game without Rashad Fenton, which makes McDuffie's return even more important when you need to bounce back against the 49ers. Like, if you had beaten the Bills, maybe you could afford to slip up against an NFC team, but now the record period is just so important. You got to win every week, put the pressure on Buffalo and see what they can do. And so you got to get this game against the 49ers and feel good about yourself, 5-2 going into the bye.
Last week, 49ers lose, but it's partially because they had a lot of guys out. Their defense is phenomenal. I think I heard Mitch Holtis say you're going from the number one defense to the number two defense.
Yeah.
Some guys that, according to Kyle Shanahan, what they had today, Nick Bosa limited, Trent Williams limited, Mooney Ward did not practice, McGlinchey did not practice, Eric Armstead did not practice, and Jimmy Ward, their free safety, limited with a hand injury. Anything stick out, obviously, other than Bosa that, you know, doesn't, that is limited or didn't practice?
Well, you know, you feel for Charvarius Ward a little bit, right? I mean, you'd want him to play in this game against his former team. I'm sure he was hoping to play, and he had to leave last game early, so I'm not sure he's going to go. But the big one, you know, aside from an old friend in Ward, to me, is Bosa. If Bosa plays, it's just such a different team and a much scarier team. And if Bosa can't go or they give him another week, that's going to be just a colossal break for the Chiefs. That was something I asked Patrick Mahomes about today. I simply said to him, you know, how important is it to know where Bosa is? And he kind of sheepishly said, very important, because this guy can absolutely wreck a game. And so to me, if you're looking at an injury on the other side, I know that they were, what, missing seven starters last game against the Falcons, but Bose is the one to watch. If he doesn't play, I can almost guarantee a Chiefs win. If he does play, there's a scenario in which they could lose.
Coming up next, lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride, Ron Cobb Jr. You just heard the head chief editor at Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. Dusty Likens with you here as well on 610 Sports Radio. It's Arrowhead Pride Radio. Ron Cobb next. Back in, Arrowhead Pride Radio Show, Dusty Likens, Pete Sweeney, Grant Nicholson, all with you tonight up until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, get on the Twitter sphere. We'll get some questions for you to have Pete answer. Right now, we have questions for Arrowhead Pride's lead analyst, Ron Cobb Jr. Ron, it's another Wednesday, so you get me and Pete once again. How is your week going thus far?
Going great. It was a fun day at Arrowhead on Sunday, even though they lost. Honestly, it was just a good game to be at. Just a, you know, beautiful football weather. So I can't complain, man. I'm doing good. How about you guys?
I'm doing well. Your boss a little shaky, a little nervous. Midweek shenanigans going on. He's doing all right, but I can't speak for him, so I'll let him answer for himself. But Ron, I am fantastic. I'm doing great. Can't complain.
Well, that's good. No, I don't know what you're referring to with the boss man. So I'm a little worried now. Is something Pete in trouble? Now is this a message for help or something?
No, now we have to explain what happened because Dusty pulled the curtain back without pulling the curtain back. I came in and I tried to pull the mic down here on the other side of Dusty, and some screw just popped out, and now this thing is swinging back and forth. But I'm making the most of it. Hopefully Josh Klingler, who sits in his chair, is not too upset with me tomorrow morning. Okay, Ron, I want to talk about this Bills game, and you've been diving into the film of this thing. And as you have reviewed, what have you seen so far? What do you think is the number one reason for the Chiefs losing this football game?
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree when you look at the game is that the offense just didn't do enough in this game. I think I was very impressed with how the defense performed against the Bills and Josh Allen. I think Steve Spagnuolo, you know, the blitz, they were, you know, dying by the blitz, living by the blitz. I mean, that was definitely the case, but it worked enough, right? But the offense just did not score enough points. And when you really look into it, you look on those third down plays, you know, some of the failed third downs, some of those end of half, end of game possessions, it's a little eerily similar to what we saw in the second half of the Bengals, the AFC Championship game last year. You know, times where this three-man rush is just those eight guys in coverage are really just, you know, making Mahomes, you know, kind of hesitate to throw into tight windows. But also it doesn't help when, you know, those five offensive linemen that are blocking only three guys, there's still rush that gets through and still impacts him, obviously. So it was definitely a combination of the pass protection and just Mahomes not dealing well with the eight man coverages once again. That was definitely the case. And it's just, it's something that I'm surprised we haven't seen more of this year so far. It kind of felt like the first time a defense has really trusted it, you know, for a lot of third downs in a game. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see more teams try to go to it now that we've, you know, the Bills kind of, you know, not gave the blueprint or anything. You know, obviously the Bengals did last year, but it is just, you know, seeing it this year without Tyreek Hill too. I think defenses may, you know, they may want to lean on to that. So I think the Chiefs definitely need to be ready for that sooner than later to face that again.
Pete Sweeney here with Dusty Likens talking to our lead analyst, Arrowhead Pride, Ron Kopp. Ron, I think when a team like the Chiefs, who has such high aspirations, starts losing a game here and there, you begin to look for patterns and trends. And I think the thing that sticks out in both the loss to the Bills and the loss to the Colts has been the offensive line play. And it's something that Andy Reid has called out. It's something that Patrick Mahomes has called out. Andy Reid on Monday was talking about how the run blocking can be better. Is the offensive line play the number one problem with this team right now in your eyes?
It should be. It is. It is. I'll say it is, because, you know, I do want to give, you know, some credit to, or, you know, some talk to the wide receivers.
The blame of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think the receivers, you know, not having that top tier guy anymore, I do think it's messing with Mahomes a little bit. You know, and I do think there is some separation issues at time against coverage. We saw the Bills play a lot more man coverage against the Chiefs than they did last year at times. But man, you do look at the offensive line. I mean, especially when you think of the reputation they had going into the season, and I think it wasn't just the, you know, home fans, you know, over expecting of their guys, right? I think national media was telling you this is one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. You know, I think smart people, you know, a bunch of people were telling you that, and the investment shows you too, right? They have, you know, they've signed Joe Tooney and obviously traded for Orlando Brown, and Creed Humphrey, the high pick. This offensive line should be performing better. It should be one of the strengths of the team. And it just seems like they're not. And I do think in the run game, I do think the coaching staff could help them a lot more. I've talked about this a lot, but it just seems like the type of runs that they call, you know, the RPOs don't help the offensive line at all. They really don't. They don't get the fire out. They get a lot of times they're moving side to side on these outside zones, and you can't create penetration as an offensive lineman doing that. You want to get downhill. You want to go forward, not side to side or backwards, which is what the Chiefs ask of their offensive linemen to do a lot on those outside zones, and just, you know, passing a lot, obviously, as that team. But pass protection, though, it needs to be better, because, man, you're not going to be able to give your offensive tackles help every play. It's just impossible. And if they can't hold up against some of these top-tier edges, like you saw Von Miller, you know, beat Wiley and Brown one-on-one in crucial situations, the best teams in the AFC have those guys at edge rusher, right? The teams you're going to see in the playoffs, the teams are going to try to beat you on the way to the Super Bowl, have those guys at edge rusher. So that's going to be a problem anytime in these big games. So they need to figure out, you know, exactly, you know, whether it's, you know, just I guess it's just really just trusting them more, or just, you know, having the run game play a bigger part so the pass protection doesn't seem as big of a problem, because the edge protection is definitely an issue right now. And it's something that, again, when they play these great teams, they all have those guys right now, because, like, they all form their teams to beat the Chiefs, so they know that's what they need to win with. So it's going to be a problem now and when it matters most later, too.
Perfect segue. You go from defense number 1A to defense 1B this week with San Francisco. What concerns you the most going into this matchup? I know we mentioned last segment that Bosa was limited, but kind of trending like he's going to play this week, and this defense is no slouch. This matchup is no just get me through it. It's going to be one of those type of games, right?
It definitely is. No, they're banged up on the defense. You mentioned Bosa, but there's a bunch of other injuries too. I mean, we saw Tarvarius Ward actually go down for them last week, and he's definitely, you know, he's been their premier corner. They've really liked him. He's played well for them so far. He's been a part of why that defense is so good. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this defense is just so well coached. Their defensive coordinator, DeMeco Ryans, has been one of the best DCs. You know, he's probably going to be a head coach sooner or later. And they've been together, right? This group, it's really the same group we saw in the Super Bowl a few years ago. The only difference is, you know, now they add this guy, which, you know, I don't even know if you know, he's a household name yet. He's built his name up this year so far in that Hufanga. I honestly don't even know his first name, but he's a safety. He looks like Troy Polamalu out there. He actually went to USC and gets mentored by Troy Polamalu. So it's kind of funny. I mean, he plays like him. He's a playmaker like him, and definitely someone, you know, Mahomes and the pass catchers need to be aware of. But even he's banged up. So it is kind of, you know, it is a little bit of a, you know, two sides of the story. I mean, they're really good defense, but they are really banged up. You know, it is in San Francisco, so that's another part of this, you know, playing, you know, defense playing at home. So the Chiefs are going to have to step up. You know, their offense is definitely going to have to step up and play very well to beat them and everything. But it's definitely they're definitely catching a little bit of a break with these injuries to the Niners defense. But either way, they're a really well-coached unit that the Chiefs are going to prepare for.
That voice is Ron Kopp Jr., the lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride. Pete Sweeney, got anything for Ron before we get him out of here tonight?
Ron, what's going on with the film team at Arrowhead Pride this week?
Yeah, no, we looked at, you know, the Bills game, obviously a huge game. You know, Nate Christensen, a great writer of ours, now that he is breaking down great stuff and wanted to look at how, you know, Steve Spagnuolo, you know, whether it was the right thing to blitz or not. He came to the decision to the conclusion that I did too, that I think it was the right call. You know, I really do think so. And that's just how Spags is. And so it's something that with Chiefs fans complaining about that, you know, complaining about, oh, you're leaving your cornerbacks on islands. It's just part of who Spags is as a defensive coordinator. So go check that out. Broke down how the Chiefs' offense has really just been, you know, not looking good in the fourth quarter this year in general. I'll say this stat out real quick. They've only scored one touchdown on 10 possessions in the fourth quarter this year, in which they've either been ahead by one score, tied, or trailing. And that is not acceptable for this kind of offense. So that's what we're looking at the site this week, and we'll have more coming up as we go.
Ron, have a good evening. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday, and enjoy the game. And again, 3:25 on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. That's Ron Kopp, lead analyst of Arrowhead Pride. Your guy.
3:25 p.m.
That's right.
Not my favorite time. I enjoy noon.
Most terrible, worst game start of any game you could have.
3:25?
I hate it. I don't like 3:05. I don't like 3:25. I don't like any of those games in that window.
I prefer 3:05 or 3:25 to the
I prefer the noon
night
on
game.
A Sunday.
Noon on a Sunday is chef's kiss.
I am completely bad on what I was when I was a kid because I was like, we never get primetime games. We're always at noon. Now I want every game at noon the entire season.
You always want what you can't have.
That's right.
You get very
story of my life.
You get very sleepy after night games, I feel.
I don't know if sleepy and myself are words that go together, but
okay. You're just always full of energy, then.
Come on. You ever see me drowsy?
No.
We used to do shows at 4 a.m., and I was never that guy.
I now that I think about it, I've never really thought about that you in that sense before, and you're never really
never.
Lacking energy. I don't know how you do that.
It's a blessing and a curse. So are running backs on the Chiefs team. Andy Reid spoke about the running back situation. We've said go with the hot hand. He says, well, we've been doing it the whole time. We're back here on 610 Sports Radio, Arrowhead Pride Radio. Stop that. Sounds like nails on a chalkboard.
This mic is troubling me.
Just had lead analyst Ron Kopp Jr. on the show.
Great stuff.
He seems like he always is. Check out his work on arrowheadpride.com. It always kind of seems like he's, for a website that is about the Chiefs, he's the most like even keel guy. Like, he's not telling you right away, like, hey, they can win this game. San Francisco's 3-3. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. Just do the math. It's like, no, if that defense is playing, man, you guys are buckle up.
I think they're going to be without pieces. It's just which pieces and how many. They were too underhanded last game to beat the Falcons. The Chiefs are a better team than the Falcons. So
Marcus Mariota, that's who beat them. And no Kyle, not Kyle Pitts. But,
know, don't want to bring up old memories, but it's happened here.
Yeah. That's sad.
It is sad.
I mean, just
it is sad.
What's the worst call in Chiefs history? Real quick, off the rundown: Marcus Mariota, Derek Johnson, Chris Jones, Derek Carr. Forward progress when he was launch chaired for a sack.
I got to think the forward progress because it came in the playoffs.
And then he did the what? Throw to Revis off his face mask, caught it and ran it in.
Yes, Revis kind of blocked it with his head. And it went from the island right back into Mariota's hands, and he dove in for a touchdown.
Rough times for the Chiefs. You lost to Marcus Mariota, you lost to the Steelers without giving up a touchdown, and you lost to Andrew Luck on a butt fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Look where they are now. Who'd have thought? Look at you and I. Who'd have thought? Not me.
Never too late to win a breakup. Man, keep that in mind.
From Syracuse to UCM. Andy Reid said this today. I don't believe him.
We've got trust in all of them, and they've all got kind of their plays and times that we try to use them. It just depends on the game. So this game might be different than the last game, but know, we try to give them as close to equal opportunity as we can. I know Pacheco came up a little short this last game.
Huh. Yep. You believe Andy Reid with that? Equal opportunity. So here, I'll read the nuts and bolts of the quote. We have the trust in all of them. They've all kind of got their plays. It depends on the game. We try to get them as close to equal opportunity as we can.
Well, last week, Eric Bieniemy said hot hand, and then Andy Reid said equal opportunity, and kind of not the same thing. I would lean to more go with the hot hand if you're choosing between equal opportunity and hot hand, because it's not exactly the same thing. Hot hand to me is Clyde's going to get the first touch. Maybe he gets two series. If he can't get anything going, maybe they move on to Jerick McKinnon. Maybe he gets two series. If he can't get anything going, maybe you move to Pacheco and see if he can. And then if one of these guys in that order, which is what the order the Chiefs have been using, if one of those guys takes off and is running hard, stick with him. I that's what I would do. Like, I don't know. When you're watching Red Zone and you see Cleveland come on the screen, they have this two-headed monster of Chubb and Hunt. If one of them tears off this big run, they don't necessarily pluck him right off the field. They continue with Hunt as they go down the field, or Chubb as they go down the field. If you play fantasy, I'm sure you're always watching this type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think I would like to see the Chiefs actually lean into that hot hand. And I think it would allow, if a runner is running hard, it would allow these guys to get into a little bit of a rhythm. The Chiefs change a lot of personnel, and it's even with the pass catchers and the tight ends and the wide receivers. They're on and off. They're on and off. And I don't know. I think it's fine, right? We're not going to ask any questions when they're winning games, but when you lose a really big game, then you start to wonder, is this the right method? I'm not going to be one to question Andy Reid. I think he knows what he's doing. But I wonder about how these guys are able to get into what they call a rhythm when they're checking out so often and don't stay on the field. And you're not riding the hot hand. You're trying to stay fresh in a way. So maybe that's the thought process.
Because the way that I can look at it, and then we'll get into the next question, is that game against the Raiders, there's no doubt in my mind it was Jerick McKinnon that kind of got everybody fired up. Like the two angry, you know what I mean? Like he had those two angry runs, to quote Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. But it seemed like that was the guy at that moment where you're just like, okay. And this is how I reacted to that is, hey, this is the guy that's really running well. He's running fast. This is exactly what we need right now. So then if they have certain plays for certain guys, why are we running Clyde Edwards-Helaire plays, who was not getting good averages, or why are we not running Pacheco plays? And then we fast forward the clocks to this last week, and Pacheco got two carries for 9 yards and averaged 4.5 a carry. And then he never saw the field again. And it's just like, I don't understand like why you get away from that. And then you wonder to yourself, here's the Bills running with Singletary the entire time, and he's setting them up for success every second down.
Andy Reid's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive play callers of all time. So when I was the one who asked the running back question, when I asked that question in the press conference, it's not because I'm trying to say they should be doing a certain thing. I'm just trying to understand what the thought process is. And what we got back was this answer of, well, we have certain plays designed for certain guys. And I don't know. I think, I don't know if I'm like old school in this sense, but maybe what the Chiefs need is a two-man rotation instead of a three-man, and actually stick with the two-man. And then when one of the guys is performing really well, keep him on the field. Mm-hmm. Let him ride that horse, right? Like, I don't know. But one thing we do know, and this is pretty clear, and you're starting to see statistics pop up about X amount of rushing yards and X amount of wins for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. When they're running the football well, I guess you could say this about any team. This is an obvious point, but I'm going to say it anyway. When they're running the football well, the offense clearly ticks better, even in the pass game.
Oh, yeah.
And the Chiefs just feel like, you watch them, and it's just a whole different feel where they have control over the game, and you're not nervous as a fan that they're going to win it because they're running the ball. They're passing the ball. You can see it's clearly in control. Think about the Bucs game. Like, yeah, the Bucs kept hanging around a little bit, but you never felt for a second that the Chiefs didn't have control of that game. You didn't feel that way against the Buffalo Bills. Even when they got a lead, you didn't really feel that way. And it's because they're not running the football well. So I don't know what the answer is. You know, what am I doing? They have me go there and they ask questions. So that's a question that I've had. And it's something that I just wonder about. Is there a better way to be handling this run operation?
Is there a lack of trust in these rookies all of a sudden? Because at the beginning of the year, it was, hey, Brett Veach did it again, 7 rookies. Sky Moore, Karloftis, and maybe McDuffie this week, it's a little bit more of a pass because he hasn't played, but I just don't see it. Like, they were supposed to be, you know, key impacts in this team, and that's kind of the way training camp was leading. I haven't seen Leo Chenault much. Karloftis has kind of been brought back down to earth, and Sky Moore is like one or two plays a game is all we get.
Well, they had to rely on rookies last game, and, you know, not such a great outing for Joshua Williams. Left on an island a little bit. Spagnuolo clearly had a game plan of, we're going to blitz Josh Allen and try to make him as uncomfortable as possible. The problem with that is you end up leaving some of these guys with no experience, pretty much, on an island. And the Bills got him twice. I don't know if you can kill Spagnuolo for that, because there were other times where Allen clearly did look uncomfortable, especially in the first half. I think his first seven blitzes, Allen was 0 for 7. And so the game plan was good. I also feel like before the game, if you could sign up for the Bills scoring 24 points, don't you do it?
Right.
This is the Bills. Don't you do that? So, I don't know. It's hard for me to blame the defense and the defensive rookies. I thought we'd see more from Sky Moore, especially as camp went on. He looked like a player that would make an immediate impact. He really hasn't been that way. I don't know if he's gotten the opportunities. Same thing you could say with and Isaiah Pacheco. And so what you're left with here is a 4-2 record, and just disappointing because you really wanted this game against the Buffalo Bills, and now you have to find a way to just have a better outright record, which is going to be tough to do. The Chiefs still do have the toughest schedule in the NFL.
Do they need more from Karloftis, or is this exactly what they expected?
Hard to expect that much from a rookie taken with the 30th pick. I think he's looked good. He's up there with the team as far as defensive line and pressures. I don't know if you can reasonably expect a 10-sack season from the 30th pick. It looked like he might have an opportunity to do that earlier in the season when he was really ticking. But I think he's been good, and I think he's going to be a player that develops into a wrecker for the Chiefs. I just don't know if he's that guy quite yet. And I also think, like, Mike Dana being back in the mix will help. Frank Clark having his flashes maybe turn into a little bit more consistent play would help. I don't think you can expect much more from Karloftis as far as where they selected him in the NFL draft. It's just hard to make an immediate impact at that position.
We've got questions for you, Twitter, wherever you want to find them. Pete will answer them next, at Arrowhead Pride if you want to ask him, at PG Sween as well, at Dusty Likens. We'll do it all for you next here on the Arrowhead Pride Radio Show on 610 Sports Radio. Back at Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson, all here with you. Don't worry, I'm going nowhere. Pete's day is done after this. He'll get to go home and have a nice little, you know, evening. Maybe have a little glass of vino. Who knows what Pete's going to do tonight?
Little vino for the Sweeney.
That should be a podcast.
Yeah.
Vino with Sweeney. Tonight we're talking about Malbec.
Talk about the grapes.
Or what you could do is you could
age
do like a
grapes.
You could do a wine from the team they're playing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know there's tons in California.
This is a nice San Francisco red.
Yeah. This is a 2019 blend.
A lot of good vineyards in northern New York.
Hell yeah.
Why not?
Let's do it. I guess I got to go to Jersey's. I just realized this. I played in a golf tournament Monday.
Jersey Mike's?
And Jersey Boys. I had Jersey Boys subs Monday. Love Jersey Mike's.
What's?
I don't know. But what? It's good. Mm. It was a good Sammy. I got to get to Jay-Z.
I don't know. I've never had Jersey Boys.
It's a very, very horny hum by you right there.
I've had Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just...
Are we ready for some questions here?
Napa Valley. Yeah, we get into the questions. We go to Twitter to always do these questions for all of you. You can chime in every single week at Arrowhead Pride on Twitter. This one from New Jericho Man or FF Ball Appraiser. Can we go back in time and make Tyreek Hill stay this time? Question mark.
Well, Tyreek does lead the league in receiving yards.
He's on pace to break Calvin Johnson's record. And I look like an ass every day now.
He doesn't have the quarterback play that we promised him he would miss.
His starter last week is elite.
Shaq?
Yeah.
What is his name? Skyler.
Don't disrespect Grant's guy.
Yeah. Well, I think the offense would be performing better if he stayed. I don't think we could pretend that the Chiefs don't miss him anymore. I think we knew that it was going to take some growing pains, though, and they need to win a little differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's an aspect of, I don't think Tyreek only wanted to get paid. I think he wanted to move on and go live down in Miami to an extent.
We're back here on 610 Sports Radio, Arrowhead Pride Radio. Stop that. Sounds like nails on a chalkboard.
This mic is troubling me.
Just had lead analyst Ron Kopp Jr. on the show.
Great stuff.
He seems like he always is. Check out his work on arrowheadpride.com. It always kind of seems like he's, for a website that is about the Chiefs, he's the most, like, even keel guy. Like, he's not telling you right away, like, hey, they can win this game. San Francisco's 3-3. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. Just do the math. It's like, no, if that defense is playing, man, you guys are buckle up.
I think they're going to be without pieces. It's just which pieces and how many. They were too underhanded last game to beat the Falcons. The Chiefs are a better team than the Falcons. So
Marcus Mariota, that's who beat them. And no Kyle, not Kyle Pitts. But,
know, don't want to bring up old memories, but it's happened here.
Yeah. That's sad.
It is sad.
I mean, just
it is sad.
What's the worst call in Chiefs history? Real quick, off the rundown: Marcus Mariota, Derek Johnson, Chris Jones, Derek Carr. Forward progress when he was launch chaired for a sack.
I got to think the forward progress because it came in the playoffs.
And then he did the what? Throw to Revis off his face mask, caught it and ran it in.
Yes, Revis kind of blocked it with his head. And it went from the island right back into Mariota's hands, and he dove in for a touchdown.
Rough times for the Chiefs. You lost to Marcus Mariota, you lost to the Steelers without giving up a touchdown, and you lost to Andrew Luck on a butt fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Look where they are now. Who'd have thought? Look at you and I. Who'd have thought? Not me.
Never too late to win a breakup. Man, keep that in mind.
From Syracuse to UCM. Andy Reid said this today. I don't believe him.
We've got trust in all of them, and they've all got kind of their plays and times that we try to use them. It just depends on the game. So this game might be different than the last game, but we try to give them as close to equal opportunities as we can. I know Pacheco came up a little short this last game.
Huh. Yep. You believe Andy Reid with that? Equal opportunity. So here, I'll read the nuts and bolts of the quote. We have the trust in all of them. They've all kind of got their plays. It depends on the game. We try to get them as close to equal opportunity as we can.
Well, last week, Eric Bieniemy said hot hand, and then Andy Reid said equal opportunity, and kind of not the same thing. I would lean to more go with the hot hand if you're choosing between equal opportunity and hot hand because it's not exactly the same thing. Hot hand to me is Clyde's going to get the first touch. Maybe he gets two series. If he can't get anything going, maybe they move on to Jerick McKinnon. Maybe he gets two series. If he can't get anything going, maybe you move to Pacheco and see if he can. And then if one of these guys in that order, which is what the order the Chiefs have been using, if one of those guys takes off and is running hard, stick with him. I that's what I would do. Like, I don't know. When you're watching Red Zone and you see Cleveland come on the screen, they have this two-headed monster of Chubb and Hunt. If one of them tears off this big run, they don't necessarily pluck him right off the field. They continue with Hunt as they go down the field, or Chubb as they go down the field. If you play fantasy, I'm sure you're always watching this type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think I would like to see the Chiefs actually lean into that hot hand, and I think it would allow, if a runner is running hard, it would allow these guys to get into a little bit of a rhythm. The Chiefs change a lot of personnel, and it's even with the pass catchers and the tight ends and the wide receivers. They're on and off, and I don't know. I think it's fine, right? We're not going to ask any questions when they're winning games, but when you lose a really big game, then you start to wonder, is this the right method? I'm not going to be one to question Andy Reid. I think he knows what he's doing. But I wonder about how these guys are able to get into what they call a rhythm when they're checking out so often and don't stay on the field. And you're not riding the hot hand. You're trying to stay fresh in a way. So maybe that's the thought process.
Because the way that I can look at it, and then we'll get into the next question, is that game against the Raiders, there's no doubt in my mind it was Jerick McKinnon that kind of got everybody fired up. Like the two angry, you know what I mean? Like he had those two angry runs, to quote Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. But it seemed like that was the guy at that moment where you're just like, okay. And this is how I reacted to that is, hey, this is a guy that's really running well. He's running fast. This is exactly what we need right now. So then if they have certain plays for certain guys, why are we running Clyde Edwards-Helaire plays who was not getting good averages, or why are we not running Pacheco plays? And then we fast forward the clocks to this last week, and Pacheco got 2 carries for 9 yards and averaged 4.5 a carry. And then he never saw the field again. And it's just like, I don't understand like why you get away from that. And then you wonder to yourself, here's the Bills running with Singletary the entire time, and he's setting them up for success every second down.
Andy Reid's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive play callers of all time. So when I was the one who asked the running back question. When I asked that question in the press conference, it's not because I'm trying to say they should be doing a certain thing. I'm just trying to understand what the thought process is. And what we got back was this answer of, well, we have certain plays designed for certain guys. And I don't know. I think, I don't know if I'm like old school in this sense, but maybe what the Chiefs need is a two-man rotation instead of a three-man, and actually stick with the two-man. And then when one of the guys is performing really well, keep him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Let him ride that horse, right? Like, I don't know. But one thing we do know, and this is pretty clear, and you're starting to see statistics pop up about X amount of rushing yards and X amount of wins for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
When they're running the football well, and I guess you could say this about any team, this is an obvious point, but I'm going to say it anyway. When they're running the football well, the offense clearly ticks better, even in the pass game.
Oh, yeah.
And the Chiefs just feel like, you watch them, and it's just a whole different feel where they have control over the game, and you're not nervous as a fan that they're going to win it because they're running the ball. They're passing the ball. You can see it's clearly in control. Think about the Bucs game. Like, yeah, the Bucs kept hanging around a little bit, but you never felt for a second the Chiefs didn't have control of that game. You didn't feel that way against the Buffalo Bills. Even when they got a lead, you didn't really feel that way, and it's because they're not running the football well. So I don't know what the answer is. You know, what am I doing? They have me go there and they ask questions. So that's a question that I've had, and it's something that I just wonder about. Is there a better way to be handling this run operation?
Is there a lack of trust in these rookies all of a sudden? Because at the beginning of the year, it was, hey, Brett Veach did it again, 7 rookies. Sky Moore, Carl Loftus, and maybe McDuffie this week gets a little bit more of a pass because he hasn't played. But I just don't see it. Like, they were supposed to be, you know, key impacts in this team, and that's kind of the way training camp was leading. I haven't seen Leo Chenault much. Carl Loftus has kind of been brought back down to earth, and Sky Moore is like 1 or 2 plays a game is all we get.
Well, they had to rely on rookies last game, and you know, not such a great outing for Joshua Williams, left on an island a little bit. Spagnuolo clearly had a game plan of, we're going to blitz Josh Allen and try to make him as uncomfortable as possible. The problem with that is you end up leaving some of these guys with no experience pretty much on an island. And the Bills got him twice. I don't know if you can kill Spagnuolo for that, because there were other times where Allen clearly did look uncomfortable, especially in the first half. I think his first 7 blitzes, Allen was 0 for 7. And so the game plan was good. I also feel like before the game, if you could sign up for the Bills scoring 24 points, don't you do it?
Right.
This is the Bills. Don't you do that? So I don't know. It's hard for me to blame the defense and the defensive rookies. I thought we'd see more from Sky Moore, especially as camp went on. He looked like a player that would make an immediate impact. He really hasn't been that way. I don't know if he's gotten the opportunities. Same thing you could say with Isaiah Pacheco. And so what you're left with here is a 4-2 record, and just disappointing because you really wanted this game against the Buffalo Bills, and now you have to find a way to just have a better outright record, which is going to be tough to do. The Chiefs still do have the toughest schedule in the NFL.
Do they need more from Carl Loftus, or is this exactly what they expected?
Hard to expect that much from a rookie taken with the 30th pick. I think he's looked good. He's up there with the team as far as defensive line and pressures. I don't know if you can reasonably expect a 10-sack season from the 30th pick. It looked like he might have an opportunity to do that earlier in the season when he was really ticking. But I think he's been good, and I think he's going to be a player that develops into a wrecker for the Chiefs. I just don't know if he's that guy quite yet. And I also think, like, Mike Dana being back in the mix will help. Frank Clark having his flashes maybe turn into a little bit more consistent play would help. I don't think you can expect much more from Carl Loftus as far as where they selected him in the NFL draft. It's just hard to make an immediate impact at that position.
We've got questions for you, Twitter, wherever you want to find them. P Pete will answer him next at Arrowhead Pride if you want to ask him, at PG Sween as well, at Dusty Likens. We'll do it all for you next here on the Arrowhead Pride Radio Show on 610 Sports Radio. Back at Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson, all here with you. Don't worry, I'm going nowhere. Pete's day is done after this. He'll get to go home and have a nice little, you know, evening. Maybe have a little glass of vino. Who knows what Pete's going to do tonight?
Little vino for the Sweeney.
That should be a podcast.
Yeah.
Vino with Sweeney. Tonight we're talking about Malbec.
Talk about the grapes.
Or what you could do is you could
age
do like a
grapes.
You could do a right. wine from the team they're playing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know there's tons in California.
This is a nice San Francisco red.
Yeah. This is a 2019 blend.
A lot of good vineyards in northern New York.
Hell yeah.
Why not?
Let's right? do it. I guess I got to go to Jersey's. I just realized this. I played in a golf tournament Monday.
Jersey Mike's?
And Jersey Boys. I had Jersey Boys subs Monday. Love Jersey Mike's.
What's?
I don't know, but what? It's good. Mm. It was a good Sammy. I got to get to Jay-Z.
Mm. I don't know. I've never had Jersey Boys.
It's a very, very horny hum by you right there.
I've had Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just...
Are we ready for some questions here?
Napa Valley. Yeah, we get into the questions. We go to Twitter to always do these questions for all of you. You can chime in every single week at Arrowhead Pride on Twitter. This one from New Jericho Man or FF Ball Appraiser. Mm. Can we go back in time and make Tyreek Hill stay this time? Question mark.
Well, Tyreek does lead the league in receiving yards.
He's on pace to break Calvin Johnson's record. And I look like an ass every day now.
He doesn't have the quarterback play that we promised him he would miss.
His starter last week is elite.
Shaq?
Yeah.
What is his name? Skyler.
Don't disrespect Grant's guy.
Yeah. Well, I think the offense would be performing better if he stayed. I don't think we could pretend that the Chiefs don't miss him anymore. I think we knew that it was going to take some growing pains, though, and they need to win a little differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's an aspect of, I don't think Tyreek only wanted to get paid. I think he wanted to move on and go live down in Miami to an extent. And so the Chiefs were able to make the most of it. I try to sometimes compare the Devontae trade where Green Bay didn't get that much and the Chiefs swung five draft picks and they're figuring it out, but they are missing, I think, a big time playmaker beyond Kelsey, which is why Juju's little breakout there. We'll see if it was a breakout or a one game type of thing, but it'd be a good sign and a good thing moving forward if Juju can continue to put up those numbers.
Is it weird that the two teams that went out and made adjustments in this offseason solely against the Chiefs have succeeded? Devontae Adams blew the roof off the Chiefs, and then Von Miller, two sacks against the Chiefs. It just seems like those free agents are doing some gnarly things
the
against
Raiders
the Chiefs.
Shot themselves in the foot. I mean,
yes.
If that game does go to overtime, who knows? Whenever games go to overtime, you never know. I don't get the going for two with 4 minutes left. If you love analytics and you're
Josh
out there,
McDaniels.
I don't care. That's just how I feel.
Analytics say not to go for, do they say go for two there? Who knows?
Probably not.
This is from at Wolf Prospect, so probably someone trying to become me, which is kind of nice. When is Hardman going to be ready to be, all caps, that deep threat?
We've been waiting for a long time at this
Never.
Point. I don't know if it's in Kansas City. I think he really needs to be in a room where he's clearly one of the top two guys, and it's just never going to be the case here. And so you're going to get these orchestrated touches that they love to give him. I think from time to time you'll see him downfield, and Mahomes will hit him with the strike. But a lot of times when he's running what would be considered traditional routes, you notice that there's a little bit of miscommunication between these two guys, and it happens too often. And so I don't see that happening for McColl in Kansas City, but he's young, and I don't think he's going to be here next year. So maybe it'll be somewhere else down the road with some other team.
This is from a good friend of mine, coworker, and new addition to Arrowhead Pride, Nick Schwart. He says, why isn't Pacheco getting more snaps?
I know. I don't know. I mean, I have said I really feel like Pacheco's the best north and south runner on this team. You wonder how the team feels about him in pass protection. Like, if you're going to get more snaps at running back, especially when you have a team with the front that the Bills have, that the 49ers have, you got to be good at pass pro. So he was all right in camp, and I think growing in that sense. I wonder, stemming from the Reed clip that we played before, if you start to see Pacheco being a little bit more even with his touches to Clyde and Jerick, so that maybe he can get an opportunity to be that hot hand we were talking about. So maybe there to come, I think. And I think when you have a rookie, and the sticking point with Pacheco that they say all the time has been, we need him to really grow as far as patience goes. And I think as the season carries on, you'll see more and more touches from Pacheco, ideally. And I think a lot of people feel the way that Nick does, you know, the sooner the better for that.
This one from Gabe Swan at Gabe Swan 3. He says, when Lucas Niang comes back from injury, will he be the new starting right tackle, or will it be Andrew Wiley's job, Pete Sweeney? That's a position that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I wonder what the Chiefs do there, because the offensive line, we talked about this with lead analyst Ron Kopp earlier at AP, is the offensive line seems like, if you're trying to name problem number one, it does seem like that's what it is. And you're not going to make a change at left tackle when you have Orlando Brown Jr. on the franchise tag. And I think the only possible change can come at right tackle. And you think about Lucas Niang, I don't know when Lucas Niang is going to be available. We have not seen him yet. The Chiefs said it would come at some point after the bye, both about Lucas Niang and Blake Bell, who've been on IR and PUP. And I just don't know how ready he might be this year. Doesn't mean there won't be a change. Like, I think the Chiefs could get aggressive and maybe make a move for a tackle. I also think that Prince Tagovailoa is a guy that is in the mix and has been on the team for a while, and you wonder if he gets an opportunity at some point here to see if he can play a little bit better. I think the answer's probably going to come from within, but I just don't know how comfortable we should be in just assuming that Niang is going to be healthy enough to be that guy for them this year. It might be more of one of these darts that the Chiefs are throwing for 2023 and beyond.
You got time for one more?
So one more.
Sure you do. Is Sweeney single from the 913? Text line wants to know.
Yeah, at the moment. At the moment. I'm glad we got that one in for sure.
And somebody says Napa Valley is where you need to go for your wine.
Napa Valley is good. We'll have to talk about us having a wine from the opposing team on a segment.
I have a place we could do it.
Where's that?
Red Door Wine Store.
Okay.
I guarantee my buddy would let us do it.
You're well connected.
Yeah.
You're well connected.
Lee Summit Sportsman of the Year, according to Cody and Gold.
That's you?
That's what they said.
Oh.
I was offered to do a spot at a booth in downtown when they did their little downtown days, and they coined it as I was the Sportsman of the Year, which is not true. I was just being friendly and helping a friend out and did some stuff.
I learn something new about you, I feel like, every week, and every week I'm a little bit more impressed with you.
I'm a ball of wax, man.
You're a ball of wax.
I don't go away. I just kind of collect. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. You really snowball. Like, this is your season, because now you can snowball right into it.
Ball of wax. Mm. Snowball. Mm. Yeah. No one likes a cold ball.
You are, that's what I would describe you as, an ice cold ball.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to be single the rest of my life. Describe yourself as the real question.
That's the real question. Is Dusty single, and how long will it be until that
probably
changes?
At least until I've got a better job. 6 to 9, Monday through Friday, right. It's selling it.
Yeah, no.
But no, let's set up the week. Let's get back into football. Where does this team go from here? Because, Pete, I said before we wrap this show up, you got to get to 13 wins. You got to be the car in the fast lane behind the car that's going 80, and you want to go 85, and you're causing the car that's in cruise control going their speed, Buffalo Bills, to kind of look around, get nervous, and get out of their comfort zone. Buffalo's schedule, it is what it is. Chiefs' schedule, it's not as hard as people may think it is. I said there's two losses you can afford. Get to 13 wins. Is that a smart way to look at the rest of the season?
I think 13 wins is what you got to get to now if you want to shout out the AFC bye. Mm-hmm. I can't see Buffalo being worse than 12-5.
No.
And now you need a better record than that.
That would be a catastrophic failure for Buffalo if they were 12-5.
But like, Patrick Mahomes was smart today to talk in which the way he did it. It's an every week thing now. It's an everyday prep thing. You blew this game. Mm-hmm. Now you just stick to it and try to follow your schedule, beat the teams you can, and see if Buffalo comes back to you. I mentioned that point about the AFC East. It's strong. It's stronger than we thought, and the AFC West is a lot weaker than we thought. We thought that would be flip-flopped. I made that point in the offseason and going into the year that I wasn't sure if the Chiefs could have the same record of the Bills, because the AFC West was so difficult and they would have to play all those teams. The Chiefs should win all these games against the AFC West. I understand that division games can sometimes be weird, but they should beat these teams every game that they play them. They're a better built football team. And the AFC East, I think things can go a little wacky, and that could play right into the Chiefs' favor of getting back into this AFC bye competition, where, once again, they're going to need flat out a better record than the Bills now.
What's the rest of the week look like for Pete Sweeney and Arrowhead, Brad?
Well, we start with Wednesday, right? And the injury report, where we started to get some clues about what we might see this weekend. I think we're all eyeing some more information on what is going to happen with Willie Gay Jr. and Trent McDuffie. We'll get the coordinators tomorrow. One final talk with Andy Reid on Friday. We'll keep you updated at arrowheadpride.com. We got articles and podcasts and everything. If you're always looking for Chiefs chatter, there's a means at AP, so we appreciate all the love, and we'll keep you updated as far as the Chiefs entering this last game before the bye week. Already here, week 7, San Francisco 49ers at that special time of 3:25.
We've kind of flirted with how we feel about Sunday. How are you feeling about Niners, Chiefs, their defense, if all healthy, moving forward with the best offense, one of the best defenses, going into Sunday's game on the road in the rematch of the Super Bowl?
I think it's hard. It'd be hard for me to think that the 49ers are suddenly, after missing 7 starters, going to be healthy in this game. And I think that can play into the hands of the Chiefs. We saw them missing a lot of starters last game against the Atlanta Falcons, a team that we thought they were better than. And you can lose on any given Sunday. The Falcons came out and they won that football game. I still think they're going to be underhanded to a certain point. Now, if they have Bosa back, that really changes the game. He, to me, is the key player to watch. It sounds like he's feeling a little bit better. On the other side, they might get Trent Williams back, which will help their case as well. But again, I think the Chiefs are entering this game and they need it. They need to feel good. You don't want to lose 2 games going into your bye week. So you just need to find a way. I mean, even if Bosa is playing, which we think he will be, they're just going to have to find a way, because you have to enter that bye week 5-2. You have to enter feeling good about yourself. And then we know about Andy Reid after the bye. So 5-2 can turn into 6-2. And who knows, maybe at that point, the Buffalo Bills will have lost one. And suddenly everything kind of comes back to you. So it's play your game, go to San Francisco, beat a team that you're better than, and move on and enjoy your bye.
Bills on a bye week this week, Chiefs on a bye week next week. That's Pete Sweeney, Prince of Kansas City, chief editor of Arrowhead Pride. Thanks for joining me again tonight. Pete, we'll look forward to doing it again next week and build up to the bye.
Yeah, I'll see you next week.
Enjoy the vino. Send me a pic of what you're choosing tonight. My suggestion, Pinot Noir. Go to Oregon. Go up there.
You want me to drive to Oregon right now?
No, just get it.
Oh, get it.
Yeah, get it. That's where the best Pinot Noirs are from.
What did you say? Call it the Red
Pinot Noir.
The Red Wine Wine.
Red Door Wine Store.
Sportsman of the Year.
Yeah. Shout out Paul Westfall.
Okay.
Grant Nicholson, you're the guy tonight. We'll get back in here in a little bit and do after hours. Pete Sweeney, thanks for the time. Arrowhead Pride Radio here on 610 Sports Radio. We're out here. Back in Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson, all here with you. Don't worry, I'm going nowhere. Pete's day is done after this. He'll get to go home and have a nice little, you know, evening. Maybe have a little glass of vino. Who knows what Pete's going to do tonight?
Little vino for the Sweeney.
That should be a podcast.
Yeah.
Vino with Sweeney. Tonight we're talking about Malbec.
Talk about the grapes.
Or what you could do is you could
age
do like a
grapes.
You could do a wine from the team they're playing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's tons in California.
This is a nice San Francisco red.
Yeah. This is a 2019 blend.
A lot of good vineyards in northern New York.
Hell yeah.
Why not?
Let's do it. I guess I got to go to Jersey's. I just realized this. I played in a golf tournament Monday.
Jersey Mike's?
And Jersey Boys. I had Jersey Boys subs Monday. Love Jersey Mike's. I don't know, but it's good. It was a good Sammy. I got to get to Jay-Z.
I don't know. I've never had Jersey Boys.
It's a very, very horny hum by you right there.
I've had Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just...
Are we ready for some questions here?
Napa Valley. Yeah, we get into the questions. We go to Twitter to always do these questions for all of you. You can chime in every single week at Arrowhead Pride on Twitter. This one from New Jericho Man or FF Ball Appraiser. Can we go back in time and make Tyreek Hill stay this time? Question mark.
Well, Tyreek does lead the league in receiving yards.
He's on pace to break Calvin Johnson's record.
And
I look like an ass every day now.
He doesn't have the quarterback play that we promised him he would miss.
His starter last week is elite.
Shaq?
Yeah.
What is his name? Skyler.
Don't disrespect Grant's guy.
Yeah. Well, I think the offense would be performing better if he stayed. I don't think we could pretend that the Chiefs don't miss him anymore. I think we knew that it was going to take some growing pains, though, and they need to win a little differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's an aspect of, I don't think Tyreek only wanted to get paid. I think he wanted to move on and go live down in Miami to an extent. And so the Chiefs were able to make the most of it. I try to sometimes compare the Devontae trade where Green Bay didn't get that much and the Chiefs swung 5 draft picks and they're figuring it out, but they are missing, I think, a big time playmaker beyond Kelsey, which is why Juju's little breakout there. We'll see if it was a breakout or a one game type of thing, but it'd be a good sign and a good thing moving forward if Juju can continue to put up those numbers.
Is it weird that the two teams that went out and made adjustments in this offseason solely against the Chiefs have succeeded? Devontae Adams blew the roof off the Chiefs, and then Von Miller, 2 sacks against the Chiefs. It just seems like those free agents are doing some gnarly things against the Chiefs.
Shot themselves in the foot. I mean,
yes.
If that game does go to overtime, who knows? Whenever games go to overtime, you never know. I don't get the going for 2 with 4 minutes left. If you love analytics and you're
Josh
out there,
McDaniels.
I don't care. That's just how I feel.
Analytics say not to go. Do they say go for 2 there? Who knows?
Probably not.
This is from @WolfProspect, so probably someone trying to become me, which is kind of nice. When is Hardman going to be ready to be, all caps, that deep threat?
We've been waiting for a long time at this point. I don't know if it's in Kansas City. I think he really needs to be in a room where he's clearly one of the top 2 guys, and it's just never going to be the case here. And so you're going to get these orchestrated touches that they love to give him. I think from time to time you'll see him downfield, and Mahomes will hit him with the strike. But a lot of times when he's running what would be considered traditional routes, you notice that there's a little bit of miscommunication between these 2 guys, and it happens too often. And so I don't see that happening for McColl in Kansas City, but he's young, and I don't think he's going to be here next year. So maybe it'll be somewhere else down the road with some other team.
This from a good friend of mine, coworker, and new addition to Arrowhead Pride, Nick Schwartz. He says, why isn't Pacheco getting more snaps?
I know. I don't know. I mean, I have said I really feel like Pacheco's the best north and south runner on this team. You wonder how the team feels about him in pass protection. Like, if you're going to get more snaps at running back, especially when you have a team with the front that the Bills have, that the 49ers have, you got to be good at pass pro. So he was all right in camp, and I think growing in that sense. I wonder, stemming from the read clip that we played before, if you start to see Pacheco being a little bit more even with his touches to Clyde and Jerick, so that maybe he can get an opportunity to be that hot hand we were talking about. So maybe there would come, I think. And I think when you have a rookie, and the sticking point with Pacheco that they say all the time has been, we need him to really grow as far as patience goes. And I think as the season carries on, you'll see more and more touches from Pacheco, ideally. I think a lot of people feel the way that Nick does. You know, the sooner the better for that.
This one from Gabe Swan, @GabeSwan3. He says, when Lucas Niang comes back from injury, will he be the new starting right tackle, or will it be Andrew Wiley's job, Pete Sweeney? That's a position that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I wonder what the Chiefs do there, because the offensive line, we talked about this with lead analyst Ron Kopp earlier at AP, is the offensive line seems like, if you're trying to name problem number one, it does seem like that's what it is. And you're not going to make a change at left tackle when you have Orlando Brown Jr. on the franchise tag. And I think the only possible change can come at right tackle. And you think about Lucas Niang. I don't know when Lucas Niang is going to be available. We have not seen him yet. The Chiefs said it would come at some point after the bye, both about Lucas Niang and Blake Bell, who've been on IR and PUP. And I just don't know how ready he might be this year. Doesn't mean there won't be a change. Like, I think the Chiefs could get aggressive and maybe make a move for a tackle. I also think that Prince Tagovailoa is a guy that is in the mix and has been on the team for a while, and you wonder if he gets an opportunity at some point here to see if he can play a little bit better. I think the answer is probably going to come from within, but I just don't know how comfortable we should be in just assuming that Niang is going to be healthy enough to be that guy for them this year. It might be more of one of these darts that the Chiefs are throwing for 2023 and beyond.
You got time for one more?
Say one more.
Sure you do.
Is Sweeney single from the 913? Text line wants to know.
Yeah, at the moment. At the moment. I'm glad we got that one in for sure.
And somebody says Napa Valley is where you need to go for your wine.
Napa Valley is good. We'll have to talk about us having a wine from the opposing team on a segment.
I have
forward.
A place we could do it.
Where's that?
Red Door Wine Store.
Okay.
I guarantee my buddy would let us do it.
You're well connected.
Yeah.
You're well connected.
Lee Summit Sportsman of the Year, according to Cody and Gold.
That's you?
That's what they said.
Oh.
I was offered to do a spot at a booth in downtown when they did their little downtown days, and they coined it as I was the Sportsman of the Year, which is not true. I was just being friendly and helping a friend out and did some stuff.
I learn something new about you, I feel like, every week, and every week I'm a little bit more impressed with you.
I'm a ball of wax, man.
You're a ball of wax.
I don't go away. I just kind of collect. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. You really snowball. Like, this is your season, because now you can snowball right into it.
Ball of wax. Snowball. Mm. Yeah. No one likes a cold ball.
You are, that's what I would describe you as, an ice cold ball.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to be single the rest of my life. Describe yourself
as single.
Describe yourself as
the real question. That's the real question. Is Dusty single, and how long will it be until that
probably
changes?
At least until I've got a better job. 6 to 9, Monday through Friday. Right. It's selling it.
Yeah, no.
But no, let's set up the week. Let's get back into football. Where does this team go from here? Because, Pete, I said before we wrap this show up, you got to get to 13 wins. You got to be the car in the fast lane behind the car that's going 80, and you want to go 85, and you're causing the car that's in cruise control going their speed, Buffalo Bills, to kind of look around, get nervous, and get out of their comfort zone. Buffalo's schedule, it is what it is. Chiefs' schedule, it's not as hard as people may think it is. I said there's two losses you can afford. Get to 13 wins. Is that a smart way to look at the rest of the season?
I think 13 wins is what you got to get to now if you want to shout out the AFC bye. Mm-hmm. I can't see Buffalo being worse than 12-5.
No.
And now you need a better record than that.
That would be a catastrophic failure for Buffalo if they were 12-5.
But like Patrick Mahomes was smart today to talk in which the way he did it. It's an every week thing now. It's an everyday prep thing. You blew this game. Mm-hmm. Now you just stick to it and try to follow your schedule, beat the teams you can, and see if Buffalo comes back to you. I mentioned that point about the AFC East. It's strong. It's stronger than we thought, and the AFC West is a lot weaker than we thought. We thought that would be flip-flopped. I made that point in the offseason and going into the year that I wasn't sure if the Chiefs could have the same record of the Bills because the AFC West was so difficult, and they would have to play all those teams. The Chiefs should win all these games against the AFC West. I understand that division games can sometimes be weird, but they should beat these teams every game that they play them. They're a better built football team. In the AFC East, I think things can go a little wacky, and that could play right into the Chiefs' favor of getting back into this AFC bye competition where, once again, they're going to need flat out a better record than the Bills now.
What's the rest of the week look like for Pete Sweeney and Arrowhead, Brad?
Well, we start with Wednesday, right? And the injury report, where we started to get some clues about what we might see this weekend. I think we're all eyeing some more information on what is going to happen with Willie Gay Jr. and Trent McDuffie. We'll get the coordinators tomorrow. One final talk with Andy Reid on Friday. We'll keep you updated at arrowheadpride.com. We got articles and podcasts and everything. If you're always looking for Chiefs chatter, there's a means at AP, so we appreciate all the love, and we'll keep you updated as far as the Chiefs entering this last game before the bye week. Already here, week 7, San Francisco 49ers at that special time of 3:25.
We've kind of flirted with how we feel about Sunday. How are you feeling about Niners, Chiefs, their defense, if all healthy, moving forward with the best offense, one of the best defenses, going into Sunday's game on the road in the rematch of the Super Bowl?
I think it's hard. It'd be hard for me to think that the 49ers are suddenly, after missing 7 starters, going to be healthy in this game. And I think that can play into the hands of the Chiefs. We saw them missing a lot of starters last game against the Atlanta Falcons, a team that we thought they were better than. And you can lose on any given Sunday. The Falcons came out and they won that football game. I still think they're going to be underhanded to a certain point. Now, if they have Bosa back, that really changes the game. He, to me, is the key player to watch. It sounds like he's feeling a little bit better. On the other side, they might get Trent Williams back, which will help their case as well. But again, I think the Chiefs are entering this game and they need it. They need to feel good. You don't want to lose two games going into your bye week. So you just need to find a way. I mean, even if Bosa's playing, which we think he will be, they're just going to have to find a way, because you have to enter that bye week 5-2. You have to enter feeling good about yourself. And then we know about Andy Reid after the bye. So 5-2 can turn into 6-2. And who knows, maybe at that point, the Buffalo Bills will have lost one and suddenly everything kind of comes back to you. So it's play your game, go to San Francisco, beat a team that you're better than, and move on and enjoy your bye.
Bills on a bye week this week, Chiefs on a bye week next week. That's Pete Sweeney, Prince of Kansas City, chief editor of Arrowhead Pride. Thanks for joining me again tonight. Pete, we'll look forward to doing it again next week and build up to the bye.
Yeah, I'll see you next week.
Enjoy the vino. Send me a pic of what you're choosing tonight. My suggestion, Pinot Noir. Go to Oregon. Go up there.
You want me to drive to Oregon right now?
No, just get it.
Oh, get it.
Yeah, get it. That's where the best Pinot Noirs are from.
What did you say? Call it the Red
Pinot Noir.
The Red Wine Wine.
Red Door Wine Store.
Sportsman of the Year.
Yeah. Shout out Paul Westfall.
Okay.
Grant Nicholson, you're the guy tonight. We'll get back in here in a little bit and do after hours. Pete Sweeney, thanks for the time. Arrowhead Pride Radio here on 610 Sports Radio. We're out here.